It's Thursday, the 23rd of April, and you're listening to Northland Views with your volunteer reader and Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman. Today we have news from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Today we have these headlines: Williams City Council recap, wastewater work underway, Route 66 Centennial sign unveiled in Ash Fork, and reclamation acts to protect Colorado River system during historic drought. Calvin Shoemaker writes our first article, Williams City Council Recap, Wastewater Work Underway. This is from the 16th of April. Williams. Williams City Council has made a few noteworthy decisions as of late. Here's a look at some of the highlights from recent meetings. Wastewater work approved. In March, Council approved a purchase order for nearly $1.5 million for engineering services on the expansion of its wastewater treatment plant, including project management, design, and surveying. Included is a $210,000 pilot testing project that will determine the effectiveness of the proposed technology. Invoices will be sent monthly based on work completed. In February, representatives from engineering firm Adura presented to Council the proposal, which would increase plant capacity by 500 to 900,000 gallons a day at a total estimated capital cost of $19.9 million. The consultants estimate the design work will be completed by next summer, with project bidding by October 2027 and the new infrastructure being active by spring 2029. The current plant has a capacity of nearly 1 million gallons a day and is considered to be operating at capacity, which resulted in a building moratorium in August 2023. City to end HUD partnership. Council approved a resolution this month declaring its intent to cease operations of the Williams Housing Authority and its public housing partnership with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, effective October the 1st due to a lack of staff. The Housing Authority director resigned in August 2023, and the city has been unable to find a qualified replacement to handle the necessary tasks to keep it running. According to the resolution, an inspection of the city's public housing units in May 2025 found more than 250 deficiencies, more than half of which were deemed life-threatening and severe. City staff corrected those deficiencies, and Mayor Don Dent said the units are in good shape. He also noted that there's hope that the city of Flagstaff will absorb the Williams Housing Authority and its public housing. Williams transferred its Housing Choice Voucher Section 8 program to Flagstaff last summer. Compensation study tabled. At the April 11th meeting, council members agreed to postpone action on a proposed compensation and pay scale study that could cost nearly $30,000. The staff report states the city has seen a decline in the quality and quantity of applicants since 2023. Hiring a Tucson-based consulting company would help determine whether the city's employee compensation is considered competitive. The scope of work would include a review of current compensations, pay structure adjustments, and a final report. A primary concern is staffing at the police department. Chief James Gregory told council that the department loses 4 to 5 employees a year, mostly due to better pay at other agencies in the region, most commonly the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Council is expected to revisit the proposal at their May 14th meeting. ADU ordinance adopted. Council recently adopted an ordinance amending city code to retain accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, as permitted use and added regulations pertaining to the use of ADUs as short-term rentals. The ordinance mandates that the principal dwelling must be owner-occupied in order for the property's ADU to be used as a short-term rental. Council chose that option over a second choice, which would have eliminated ADUs as a permitted use citywide. ADUs are permitted for long-term rentals. Williams City Council meetings are held at 7 p.m. on the second and fourth Thursdays of each month at City Hall. View meeting agendas, packets, and minutes at www.williamsaz.gov. That's Williams City Council Recap. Wastewater work underway. Next, Route 66 Centennial Sign unveiled in Yavapai County. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 21st of April. Ash Fork. Yavapai County officials and community members from Seligman and Ash Fork came together last Friday for the unveiling of an historic Route 66 Centennial sign on Crookton Road. The double-sided sign, reminiscent of the Arizona state flag, recognizes the beginning of the longest remaining continuous stretch of Route 66 near Ash Fork. Yavapai County District 4 Supervisor Chris Cugno led the unveiling ceremony and commended the people of Seligman and Ash Fork for long being ambassadors of the Mother Road. If I had to choose one word to describe your two communities, it'd be resilient, Cugno said. People always talk about Route 66, but something becomes very clear as you spend any amount of time here. It's not about the road, it's really about the people. Angel Delgado. Angel Delgadillo, who Cugno called the man who started the whole historic Route 66 movement, was the event's special guest and pulled the cord to unveil the sign. Known as the guardian angel of Route 66 for his advocacy in reviving the highway, Delgadillo recalled what it was like when Interstate 40 bypassed the area. "It's so sad to be forgotten, and it's so beautiful to be remembered," Delgadillo said, who turned 99 years old on Sunday. Cugno and Yavapai County Public Works Director Roger McCormick coordinated the project to commemorate the centennial and build a sign too big to be stolen. McCormick led the charge in coming up with the design, and other communities have since jumped on board with the idea. The City of Williams put up their version of the sign in March, recognizing it as home to the last active segment of historic Route 66 prior to the I-40 bypass, October 13, 1984. McCormick thanked the county's public works staff for their help in the project, which included adding new shouldering material at the turnout. "An event like this doesn't happen without a lot of people behind it," McCormick said. The new sign includes a separate sign below it specifically for stickers. Seligman will celebrate the centennial on April 30th, and Ash Fork will have its celebration May 15th and 16th. The Williams Car Show is June the 5th and 6th. For a list of Route 66 centennial celebrations in Arizona, visit www.historic66az, that's all one word, historic66az.com/centennial. And that's Route 66 Centennial Sign unveiled in Ash Fork. Next, we have reclamation acts to protect Colorado River system during historic drought. This from the 21st of April, Washington. Long-term drought has reduced Colorado River system storage to about 36% of capacity, and the combination of the lowest snowpack on record and record-breaking March heat has further intensified drought conditions across the basin. These compounding factors are creating elevated risks to essential water and power infrastructure that supply water to more than 40 million people, underscoring the need for immediate action. Lake Powell's water year minimum probable inflow is forecasted at just 2.78 million acre feet, 29% of historical average, and one of the lowest on record. Reclamation's April 24-month study projects Lake Powell may decline to below 3,490 feet, the minimum power pool level, by August 2026 without major intervention. If Glen Canyon Dam declines below 3,490 feet, water releases would only be through the river outlet works, which could cause operational issues, uncertainty for users, downstream impacts, instability in regional power and water supplies, and a reduction in power generation. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum met with governors for the seven basin states, Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, and their designees again on April 17th to discuss the concerning hydrology and plans for operations. I'm grateful for the governors and their teams working diligently to find a solution to the complex challenges created by these unprecedented drought conditions, which require immediate action, said Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. Interior and Reclamation continue to coordinate with the basin states, tribes, Mexico, and basin stakeholders as we make the decisions necessary to operate and protect the system. To stabilize the system, Reclamation is moving quickly, and initial plans include adding up to about 2.48 million acre-feet of water to Lake Powell by moving the water from the upstream Flaming Gorge Reservoir and by reducing releases from Lake Powell. Through the 2019 Drought Response Operating Agreements, Reclamation is intending to release 660,000 acre-feet to 1 million acre-feet from Flaming Gorge Reservoir from April 2026 through April 27. In addition, Reclamation is intending to reduce the annual release volume from Lake Powell to Lake Mead by 1.8 million acre-feet from 7.48 million acre-feet to 6.0 million. Through September 26, by utilizing Section 6E of the Record of Decision from the final 2024 Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for near-term Colorado River operations. Together, these actions are expected to increase Lake Powell's elevation by approximately 54 feet to at least elevation 3,500 feet by April 2027. Through the current ongoing DROA process, the basin states, tribes, and partners continue to provide feedback related to the proposed releases. A final decision will be coming this week. Flaming Gorge Reservoir now holds about 3.1 million acre-feet of water, which is 83% full. These actions are expected to lower the reservoir's elevation by roughly 35 feet over the next year to approximately 59% of capacity. This will have no effect on contracted water rights at Flaming Gorge or Lake Powell. No additional releases from other upstream initial units of the Colorado River Storage Project Act, Blue Mesa and Navajo reservoirs, are planned at this time due to their low water levels and poor forecasted inflows. Given the severity of the risks facing the Colorado River system, it's imperative that we take action quickly to protect a resource that supplies water to 40 million people and supports vital agricultural, hydropower production, tribal, wildlife, and recreational uses across the region, said Assistant Secretary Water and Science Andrea Travnicek. As we weigh current conditions and prepare for future operations by working with states, tribal nations, and stakeholders, the Department of the Interior and Reclamation remain fully committed to taking the actions necessary to reduce impacts on water deliveries, safeguard critical infrastructure, and preserve as much operational flexibility as possible. Basin-wide impacts. Reclamation acknowledges that the proposed reduced releases from Lake Powell will accelerate the downstream decline of Lake Mead, with the potential for an up to additional 40% reduction to Hoover Dam's hydropower generating capacity as early as this fall. Reclamation and its lower basin partners are collaborating to conserve water in Lake Mead and maintain its water levels, even as releases from Lake Powell are planned to decrease. The initial proposed drought response actions may also impact recreation across multiple sites. At upstream reservoirs, boating access may be reduced earlier in the season than normal. In the Grand Canyon, lower flow rates will affect rafting conditions and fishing may be more challenging. At Lake Mead National Recreation Area, reduced water levels may further limit boating access. Reclamation is working with reservoir recreation management partners now and as the summer progresses. The 2026 operational challenges come at a time of transition as the existing agreements that guided the operations of the Colorado River for the last two decades are set to expire at the end of the year. As we approach the new water year on October the 1st, the seven basin states have not reached consensus on a new operating framework. With time running out, there's a need for extraordinary collaboration for 2027 and beyond. In the absence of a consensus and following the completion of the NEPA process, the Interior Department will be prepared to determine operations for post-2026 later this summer to provide certainty and stability for the Colorado River Basin. This information was provided by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for Reclamation Acts to Protect Colorado River System During Historic Drought. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. You can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, and that's at sunsounds.org, or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. That app is available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can listen to Sun Sounds Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Our next article, Sultana Sign Reinstalled, Lighting Ceremony Set for May 1st. This is from the 21st of April, Williams. The neon sign at the world-famous Sultana was reinstalled Friday following its restoration. The Sultana sign is the third historic neon sign along Route 66 in downtown Williams to be restored this year as part of two historic preservation grants secured by the Williams Alliance for the Arts. The signs at Canyon Club and Turquoise Teepee have also been refurbished and have a bright, fresh look. A lighting ceremony celebrating the completion of the project is scheduled for 7:15 on Friday, May the 1st, at the Canyon Club. And that's Sultana Sign Reinstalled, Lighting Ceremony Set for May 1st. Well, signs seem to be a theme for this Thursday edition. And we have now Seligman welcomes new gateway signs ahead of centennial celebration. This from the 21st of April, Seligman. A long-awaited vision is becoming reality in Seligman as new welcome monument signs are now being installed at both entrances to town, marking an exciting milestone for the community and honoring the spirit of historic U.S. Route 66. These beautiful new signs are more than just landmarks. They are a symbol of pride, history, and the enduring heart of Seligman. Designed to reflect the town's unique Route 66 charm, the monuments will warmly greet visitors from around the world as they arrive in the birthplace of the Route 66 revival. The project comes at a meaningful time as Seligman prepares to celebrate the 100th anniversary of U.S. Route 66. The signs will serve as a lasting tribute to the town's deep roots, vibrant tourism community, and the generations who helped preserve its legacy. This project has been years in the making, and seeing these signs finally go up is incredibly emotional, said Seligman Community Advocate and Seligman Community Outreach Committee Chair Nancy Echevarria. They represent not just a welcome to our town, but a tribute to all those who work so hard to keep Seligman and Route 66 alive. Angel Delgadillo, founder of the historic Route 66 movement and longtime ambassador of the Mother Road, shared his joy about the project. I am so happy to see the welcome signs are up the same year the Route 66 is turning 100. Now folks from all over the world who come to Seligman will be greeted with a warm welcome, just like coming home. To all our Route 66 travelers and friends, welcome home. And we hope you continue to get your kicks on historic Route 66. This project would not have been possible without the very generous donation provided by the Historic Route 66 Association of Arizona, whose support played a vital role in bringing this vision to life. The monument signs are also being dedicated in honor of Pat and Lilo Russell, whose love for Seligman, commitment to the community, and passion for hospitality helped shape the town's welcoming spirit for decades. A formal dedication ceremony will take place at 8 a.m. on Sunday, May 2nd, at the west end of Seligman. Community members, visitors, and Route 66 enthusiasts are invited to attend and celebrate this special moment together. Seligman also celebrates a centennial with an event on Thursday, April the 30th, beginning at 10 a.m. As Seligman looks toward the future while honoring its past, these new welcome signs stand as a proud reminder that the heart of Route 66 is alive and well. This information provided by Seligman Community Outreach. Seligman welcomes new gateway signs ahead of centennial celebration. Our next article is by Cody Bashore of the Arizona Daily Sun, and this is from the 21st of April. Coconino County takes the next step in acquisition of Gonzales Ranch Lake property in Williams. More than 3 years since the process began, Coconino County is inching closer to completing its acquisition of Gonzales Ranch Lake in Williams. During its meeting last week, the Coconino County Board of Supervisors set the stage for the property to be conveyed from the Trust for Public Land, or TPL, once the current owners finalize their donation. With TPL recently informing the county that it expects the first step in the process to be completed in May, the board approved a land conservation services agreement and a donation agreement. We are queuing all of their needed documentation so that once their transaction is complete, the trust can quickly and smoothly convey the land to Coconino County, said Cynthia Nemeth, director of Coconino County's Parks and Recreation Department. According to Nemeth, the Land Conservation Services Agreement states the county intends to accept the land and directs the county to pay the TPL $150,000 for its work facilitating the transaction so far and the work it will continue to do through the finalization of transfer. The donation agreement states that, should the county accept the property, it will do so in its current condition and accept a deed restriction that confines any future conveyance to either a governmental entity or a nonprofit organization. As detailed during Parks and Recreation's five-year outlook in March, Coconino County has already budgeted for the acquisition, master plan development, and the initial steps of its development through the balance remaining in the Parks Capital Fund. Nearly $1 million of the fund is dedicated to the Gonzales Ranch project, with the property valued at $7,810,000, according to a September 2025 assessor's report. The valuation is expected to assist potentially in the county's pursuit of a grant from Arizona State Parks, Trails, Land, and Water Conservation Fund. Made up of two parcels totaling 488.12 acres, zoned rural residential and agricultural residential by the City of Williams, the property is located just north of Interstate 40 and a little more than a mile northwest of Williams City Hall. A somewhat similar property, made up of 521.6 acres, located south of the I-40 and west of University Heights and Flagstaff, sold at an Arizona state land development auction in June 2024 for $17.5 million. Nemeth told the board the community and leadership of the City of Williams, as well as other members of Coconino County, will be involved as the master plan process begins. We know we have to knock this domino down first for the rest of them to fall, said District 3 Supervisor Tammy Ontiveros. But I think that's really important because this sits right in the heart of the city there. I really feel that we do need their input, so I appreciate that. The property also includes a double-sided billboard along I-40 with the current agreement coming along with the property. According to the report on the property in the county's agenda items, the billboard's annual rent is greater than of either $2,000 per year or 15% of the annual gross proceeds for the billboard through September 2026. In October, the rent increases to the greater of either $3,000 or 15% of the annual gross proceeds. As of March, the billboard was advertising Best Western Plus, Days Inn, and Shell for travelers headed west and the Grand Canyon Deer Farm for those traveling east. Nemeth said the county will have an opportunity to discuss retaining the agreement with Ontiveros, hoping to continue generating revenue potentially for the county through the billboard. In addition to the board thanking the current ownership for its decision to donate the Gonzales Ranch property for the benefit of the public, it cited the work of former District 3 Supervisor Matt Ryan in beginning the process. Matt was heavily involved in this and heavily involved with the family on getting this accomplished and done, said Patrice Horseman, District 1 Supervisor and Chair of the Board of Supervisors. I definitely want to shout out to our former colleague, Matt Ryan, and a huge thank you to the family for the Gonzales Ranch donation for conservation and recreation. It's kind of like leaving a legacy for the community by doing this. And that's County Takes Next Step in Acquisition of Gonzales Ranch Lake Property. We'll conclude this Thursday edition with Grand Canyon National Park eases water conservation measures. And this is from the 21st of April, Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon National Park started gradually easing water conservation measures on South Rim Friday following recent progress in repairing the water pipeline and pumping to the South Rim. Conservation efforts remain critical as the park continues to operate under a constrained, aging, and increasingly vulnerable legacy water system. Additional breaks in the pipeline remain possible, and visitors and residents are strongly encouraged to continue using water wisely. Concessionaire-operated lodging has returned to full capacity. Concessionaires have reached out to impacted reservation holders with updated information regarding their stays. The following measures remain in place. Fire restrictions. Park-wide fire restrictions remain in effect. All outdoor wood burning and charcoal fires, including campfires, warming fires, and charcoal barbecues, are prohibited. Camping. Mather Campground and Desert View Campground remain open for dry camping only. Water spigots remain turned off. Camper service remains out of service. Visitors and residents can help conserve water by taking simple, effective steps, including limiting showers to 5 minutes or less, turning off faucets while brushing teeth or shaving, running only full loads in dishwashers and laundry machines, flushing toilets selectively, reporting leaks to park staff. These actions, while small, collectively make a significant impact in protecting the park's limited water supply. This information was provided by the Park Service for Grand Canyon National Park eases water conservation measures. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. You can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, or you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.